If you had known me then, the way I was before, then you'd understand why I can't hold back the tears. Now my life is so different since I gave it to the Lord, and I want to give Him glory while I'm here. I stand before you knowing that it's only by His grace that I am just what I am today. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love. I'm part of the results from the old rugged cross that was stained by His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace. Though there is no way I can repay His love, and the mercy He's shown is more than life to me. Now there's nothing I can do or say that would be enough to pay the debt of sin He paid for me. My life's a testimony of His love, mercy, love, and grace. And one day I will thank Him face to face. I'm a trophy of grace, a display of His love. I'm part of the results from the old rugged cross that was stained by His precious blood. Though I'll never understand why He died in my place, just look at me today, because I can say I'm a trophy of grace.
Thank you, Kimberly. Let's go on over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to finish out this chapter and jump into the next one. And while you're heading over there, I would encourage you to keep in prayer for two missionary families. I believe Pastor announced it last week that there's two missionary families that have resigned. And that's the Pereiras from Portugal, and then I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but the Lapados or the Lapados, and they have actually two countries that they go back and forth to. And I believe it's Austria and then Bavaria, right in that area. I just rhymed. But anyway, just be in prayer for both of those families. And just with health and all the things that are involved, whatever that might be that's taking them off of the field, but then also the churches that they were involved with, because all of a sudden there is a really crazy transition. It's hard enough when you're preparing, you know, you're expecting a pastor come in, like when Pastor McPhillips came in, or when you were expecting my family to come in. You were prepared for it, okay? As much as you could be. You did a lot of prayer and fasting beforehand, right? But yet, with what had happened, and even with the health of the Pereiras, just crazy switch. And so if you could just be in prayer for whatever is going on there, and that everybody that's a part of those churches stays put, that's a good thing to be praying for. So don't just, well, we're not paying them anymore, so we'll just delete those people. Don't have that idea in your mind. Keep their families in your prayers. And whenever, because God's been bringing them to my mind a lot lately, and there's a reason for that. Have you ever been, just somebody came to your mind, and then you just said a prayer for them, and then you find out that their life was kind of crazy in that moment, and God put them on your mind for a specific reason. And I've had that happen several times to me, and I'm like, wow, you have no idea what's going on, but thank you so much. I needed that. So just keep in prayer for both of those families. All right, so Galatians chapter 5, and I titled this Managing Our Burdens. And by our burdens, I have two different meanings behind that. That individual, like my own, but then also our burdens. Okay, you get what I'm saying there? And you'll understand as we get into the passage here tonight. But as we get into this, when you hit verse 26, okay, it's the last one, and some of you might ask, well, why didn't you just put it into the last message so that we would round off chapter 5, because I'm OCD and I have to have it, you know, right on the dot? Well, if you notice, this is kind of a bridge verse. Verse 26, going from the last portion right heading into this next, and it kind of makes more sense. I don't know, to me it just makes more sense. It would have been better, I think, as verse number one. Now, I'm not trying to be arrogant in here and saying, well, it's got to be my way. It just seems like it would be better with this next passage. So you can make your own assumptions, all right? I'm just stating that I just thought it would be better, since we can only chew on edible portions, okay? I thought it would be better for this edible portion to be involving verse 26. And so as we get into this, as you think about the last passage, because you've slept since then, you've eaten since then, we had a missionary since then, we've had a lot of graduation open houses since then, so you've probably forgotten everything that we went over, but it was walking in the Spirit. You remember? All of a sudden, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And then the works of the flesh are very evident. We know what those are. We can tell what those things are. But you know, there's something that we struggle with, okay? Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only weird one. Maybe I'm the only one that gives into my flesh, okay? But maybe you can help me out by agreeing with me by this statement. Have you ever seen God working in your life, and then he started lingering at yourself, and man, wow, I could see me doing all kinds of things for God, and wow, I'm looking kind of spiritual right now. No wonder God has me singing in the choir, right? No wonder he has me as the eye candy usher, right? You know, no wonder, you know, all these things. No wonder he's got me as the church clerk, right? I mean, just, have you ever been there and you lingered too long at self, and then you started looking at other people and, wow, God really sure has blessed all these people around me by placing me in their presence. Have you ever been there? Okay, none of you deal with this kind of a problem, do you? Okay, all right, because none of you deal with the flesh, right? But I think sometimes we just do it, okay? Let me just bring it back to, what did Pastor call it, the streets today? Did you hear that? I thought he was going to do a gang sign or something, you know? But just think of it like this. You go back to the streets, okay? How many of you think that you are excellent drivers? And you just think that, I am great. I should be a driver's ed teacher, but I can't get along with teenagers long enough to be able to be one. It's all their fault, okay? And I would be using that extra brake a ton, wouldn't you? Just for fun. They're just driving along. They're doing great. They're sweating. What did I do? Nothing. I just wanted to do it. I had power, okay? But have you ever been driving along and then all of a sudden somebody cuts you off? Or somebody hung out at the stoplight too long? Maybe where they were smoking that new stuff that we made legal in Illinois, and they were stopped at a stop sign too long. They were waiting for it to turn green. Have you ever? That's what they say. Well, that's you know, I'm just waiting for the stop sign to turn green. It doesn't turn green, folks. Okay, but anyway, I mean, I was telling the teens that I had a little flesh issue last. I think it was last Wednesday, and you know how you come. I was right by the main light. At least it's the main light for me. Okay. The main stoplight where you have the bank and Subway and Walgreens and CVS and all that jazz right around you, okay? So I'm sitting in the turning lane and waiting for that green arrow, okay? Then I'm going to go. And then I got to beat the other two lights going out of town, right? And I'm just going to go and I'm ready. But you know, some people, they wait for their light to turn red and then they go. You know, at the end, all right? They're waiting, and then it goes yellow, and then it goes red, and then they go. I'm not sure quite understanding that. Red means stop, folks, okay? And so I'm waiting there. There is a car that's gone obviously late, and they're still crossing the threshold of the front of my truck. Now, I got a grill guard, so I could press on the gas. I mean, it really wouldn't hurt me much. There's not much more you can hurt on my truck, okay? Some of the rust pieces might fall off, but oh well. Okay, so I could go. My lights, it's green arrow. That means go. But you know, they're still crossing the front. And some girl in some red sports car, now if that's your granddaughter, punish her, okay? She honks her horn at me. So, I go, and I'm only going about 15, 20 miles per hour through town. Has anybody ever done this before? Okay, a few sinners up front. That's it, okay? And then I go slow, and man, I'm looking back in my rearview mirror, and I'm smiling, and I don't know what she's doing, because it's all, you know, all of her windows are tinted, and all I can see is the blonde hair. That's probably the problem. But anyway, and I'm going slow all the way through town, and she follows me all the way out to Burton Eddy. I loved it. I mean, she follows me all the way, and I'm thinking, man, is she going to follow me home? And then she's going to express her gang sign, right? And I mean, I just took a pleasure in the flesh at that moment. Now, I did tell the teens that that was wrong, and I sinned, okay? But I was smiling the whole entire way home. Sin is pleasurable for a season, right? But you know, have you ever gotten to that point where you think, you know, these people don't know how to drive? And then there's times where you don't know how to drive. Like, there's just moments where you realize that you should not have gone when you did. Or you've come up to a four-way stop, and you stopped at the stop sign, and you're waiting for the other people to go, and then they stop, and you're, oh, man, it's a four-way. I should have gone, you know? Have you ever, I mean, we've had those problems. It's because sometimes we complain about all the other people and how they have problems, right? And then we're reminded that we've got issues. We're not perfect. I don't know if you noticed, I'm not perfect. I'll be the first to say. Actually, no, my wife will be the first to say. I will be the second to say. But you know, we're not perfect. But when we start getting high on ourselves, when we think that we're macho and that we're spiritual and we strut our stuff and we start looking around, we get into that first verse and it explains it. So in the first point, I said we must keep it vertical. Now, that's not talking about Baptist dancing, okay? I know that's a joke. You've never heard that joke? You're supposed to keep it vertical. You don't move too much. That way it's legal in the Baptist. Okay, maybe we're not going to go there. Okay, anyway. We must keep it vertical. And by that, I'm meaning that we must be looking to God for this. We need to keep our focus on the author and finisher of our faith. You go into verse 26 and it says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. See, sometimes when we're strutting our stuff, he's saying, listen, you might be showing some fruit of the Spirit, but don't start looking at your stuff and desiring vainglory. It's empty. You want to be the first in the line. You want to have first place. You want your name on the board. You want to be recognized. That's not good. When we're searching for that empty glory, he says, don't be going for that. Because when we're going for that, it's showing our selfishness, which is an evident work of the flesh. And we want to be shown, but you know what? Our job is not to make us shown, it's to make Jesus shown. We want to reveal Jesus to others. And so he says, don't be desiring this vainglory. Don't provoke one another. You say, well, Pastor, you talk about provoking one another to love and good works all the time. This is not talking about this. This is talking about causing division. It's provoking one another to fight. Because sometimes when we look around, we start looking around at other people and we think that they aren't doing it exactly as we are, so therefore they must be wrong. Go to a different country and see how they use their fork, if they use a fork at all. Go and see how they drive. They drive on the opposite side of the road. Americans must have it right because the rest of the world drives on the opposite side of the road, right? There's things that we do that we think must be right, and we look at other people, and just like Pastor stated this morning, we've all got different flavors of music. But yet, if they don't have the exact same instruments that I think that they should be having, then they must be a sinner. Or am I? Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we just get into the point where we start instigating fights, okay? Have you ever gone to a city and there's three Baptist churches within the same block? So what happened there? What's going on? Why are there three Baptist churches in the same block? Something happened. Somebody provoked somebody. It's called human beings and sin. Somebody did something wrong. Somebody didn't wear a white shirt, right? Or somebody picked the wrong color of carpet. I think we should have a peach color of carpet in here. What do you think? Not, I'm joking. We had that up at Dayton. The guys chose that because it was cheap. And then we dealt with it for the next 40 years, right? I felt like I dealt with it for 100 years, okay? Disgusting. I don't know who was in sin to pick that color of carpet, but it was horrific. I mean, it's horrible. I mean, but people get upset over the smallest things, provoking one another, thinking that we've got it all together, or being envious of one another. He said, that's never a problem within ministry, is it? Never a problem. Do you know in 1 Corinthians, where it starts talking about how he's saying, listen, some of you are saying that I'm of Apollos, and some of you are saying that I'm of Paul, and then some of you are saying that you're of Jesus because you're the extra spiritual ones, and some of you are saying that you're of Cephas, which is Peter. And they're basically creating divisions because they think their person is better than the other person, and they're underneath them, and this person's getting too much attention, so I've got to take the attention off of that person because Pastor took them out for ice cream and they didn't take me out for ice cream. Pastor picked them for a solo, but I didn't get picked. Pastor mentioned their name from the pulpit. I would love for my name to be mentioned from the pulpit. Anybody? I don't want you to feel left out. And yet we become envious. You know what each one of these things does? It creates division. It pulls the church apart. It destroys it. Satan wins. And he's saying, listen, keep it vertical. Keep it focused. Don't get so focused on yourself and other people and how you don't think that they're doing it right, and then you're complaining about all of them. Because you know what? Complaining about somebody else not doing exactly how you do it is not helping anyone, is it? It's not. It's not even helping you. You might feel better in the moment. I might feel better in the moment, but it doesn't help you. It only wastes your time and my time and God's time. We need to be good stewards of what we've been given, correct? And so as he's coming in, keep it vertical. Keep it focused up. And you know, when we keep it focused on the author and finisher of our faith, all of a sudden that changes the way that we view other people. And instead of them being in our way, instead of them getting all the attention, instead of them not doing everything exactly how the way that we should be thinking, and they're not as good of a Christian as I, and well, they're a Calvinist, blah, 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 they must be a sinner, or they're an Arminianist, blah, 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 and they, well, they're a Biblicist, they don't stand for anything. And I mean, there's so much division out there. Some of you don't know what those titles are, and that's better off for you, believe me. And there's just so many things out there. Well, they like hymns. Well, they like contemporary. And right? Keep it vertical. Because as we're looking at Jesus, all of a sudden, we start viewing people differently. Do you ever notice that? You start viewing people as created by God. Created in the image of God. And though it might be marred because of sin, we're still created by God, and we should value them as God values each individual. And God says that that person is worth it because he sent his son to die for them so that they can have an opportunity for salvation. And if me is going to get in the way of that salvation, I need to lay me to the side and start looking vertical and saying, God, how do you want me to respond to this person? How do you want me to help them? How do you want me to love them? What if they're an unsaved individual and they believe differently about politics than what I do? Or they just, they're lazy because they don't have a job. Or, I mean, go on, keep filling in the blank. And yet, God has put that person in our path to love and to value as he has loved and valued. And maybe if they see someone loving and valuing them, they might see the light of Jesus Christ impacting their life. Have we ever thought about that? Wouldn't looking vertical change everything about our worldview? We might look at Joe Biden a little bit differently. Well, he doesn't love God. Or he doesn't do this. Or Hillary Clinton. Or fill in the blank, folks. Because they don't agree with us. Listen, if they are unsaved, no duh, they don't love God. No wonder abortion is so rampant in our country. No wonder. Duh. So why are we getting upset about people who are unsaved, who would only do the things of their father who's Satan? Right? And what's the point of getting all mad about it? It doesn't help anyone. So as we look vertical, it changes how we view other people. I say, Pastor Taylor, do you ever struggle with this? Yeah. A lot. I battle with my flesh every single day, and I'm pretty sure you do too. I think it leaks in, you know, the smallest little leaks affect a great deal, don't they? Anybody ever leave their car window open just a tiny bit? And Monday morning tends to be a Monday morning, and you open up your door. And you sit down because you're late for work. And you sit down and you soak up everything. Then you got to go back into the house, and you're even later for work. Right? I mean, a little bit can affect so much. When we allow just a little bit to ruin our viewpoint, I mean, it's just so important for us to be able to have vertical view, vertical. You jump into that next point. We can humbly be used to restore. Now, you have to start with the first point in order to get to the next point. Okay? There's a checkpoint A, and then there's a checkpoint B. You have to look vertical. You have to keep vertical in order to understand what coming humbly and being used to restore one another is how it's going to work out. You go into verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this is one of the times where he actually states, "Brethren." This is a letter that is really a reprimand all the way throughout, and yet he does come back and he claims them as being fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. These are family. So he says, "Family, listen. If someone is overtaken, if they have some sort of sin that they're caught up in, you which are spiritual, restore such an one. I want you to do something about it. I don't want you to sit there and complain that they've been overtaken in a fault. I want you to get up and do something about it. I want you to go and to restore." Let me ask a question. Do you have to be present in order to do that? Do you have to know someone in order to be able to do that? You have to love someone in order to be able to do this? Do you have to care about someone in order to... Yes, all the above. D, all the above. You got to be there. You got to be looking. You got to be seeing other people. And really, we got to come down to it, to the point of, listen, we got to be looking around and caring enough and spending enough time with our people, our family. This is our family. Has anything ever happened to a sibling of yours? And listen, I get this all the time from my sisters because I'm not very good on the phone, okay? Anybody hate the phone in here? I'm not very good. I'd rather talk in person, okay? All right? Come to my door, okay? I'd rather talk to you in person. I'm sorry. If you like the phone, I guess you can call me. It's fine. I'll answer most of the time. Unless I just got one of them Social Security number scams, right? Okay, so my sisters, they'd be like, "Well, I didn't know. I didn't know this about you. Why didn't you tell me?" Well, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal to call you up and let you know about. I mean, he just tripped over a rock last night. It wasn't that big of a deal. But yet it was very important to them. Now, from being a distance away, they weren't able to see it. They weren't able to recognize it, okay? But they did want to know about it. But as a church can't be virtual. A church has to be in person. And I'm going to stretch it. I know. This is why he puts me on a Sunday night, right? It's more than a Sunday morning individual. All right? Let's just be transparent. How many of you think you know me well enough to know what I struggle with? I didn't know you struggled. And then I got to go back, okay? How many of you do I know well enough to know what you struggle with. Now let me ask another question. How many of you are willing to be transparent enough with another individual in our church to tell them that you struggle? But then they'll know that I've got problems. Exactly. We're sinners saved by grace. Y'all agree with me on that?
Amen.
We got issues that need to be taken care of. Anybody perfect in here? I mean, anybody fully sanctified in here? Just one. And he's a liar, okay? I'm just kidding. All right. I mean, seriously, we got to be transparent and open and love one another enough and to be able to know. To be able to know what to care about. Well, Pastor never visited me and never understands who I am. Well, I didn't even know you came to this church. Didn't know. When'd you call me? Have you ever been there? Well, you didn't reach out to me. Well, when did you reach out to me? Right? I mean, we've got to have this coming together. It's this mutual thing of being able to come together. Listen, if someone has been caught in sin, has an issue in their life, go help them. Now, as you see this, there's something here that you get the who is supposed to go and help, and then you get the how, all right? The who is those who are spiritual. Now, I think you can take this in two different ways, okay? One being those that are actually those who are walking in the Spirit and the fruit is evident in their lives and they're recognizing that and they're keeping vertical. They're focusing, they're looking to the author and finisher of their faith. Okay? They're staying humble and they are the ones that are seeking God. They're spiritual. He's saying, listen, you who are seeking after God, you don't have to be perfect. But you who are seeking, you who are walking in the Spirit, you go after them who's struggling and help them out. There's a verse that I can bring in here, Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, three verses, okay? And it says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" Ever hear of this verse? I mean, the world loves this passage. Don't judge me, because that's the first verse of this passage, but they don't realize that there's a whole lot of judging that is involved in Christianity. It's not the type of judging that they're thinking about, okay? And that's a whole different subject. Okay, stop, Taylor. All right, focus. All right, so it says in verse 4, "Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." So he's saying it's just kind of an exaggerated thing here. This is the person who's struggling the most with this issue is trying to go and help out somebody who's struggling not so much. Somebody's got a whole 4x4. Wow, that would be expensive. All right? Stuck in their eye. Trying to take a little speck out of another person's eye. Doesn't really make sense, does it? So he wants somebody who is looking vertically and understanding that they don't have it all together and they need God and that they're asking for God to help them through this issue that they've got in their life, and they recognize somebody else that needs the same need and saying, hey, listen, I'm struggling with this too. Let's help each other through this. We're not perfect individuals. We just need to seek after Christ. The same here. We need to exhort. We need to come alongside and take them with us. Right? It says, you are spiritual. Go, do this. Then there's another way that I think that this can be taken. And maybe because I think that Paul can become a little sarcastic every once in a while. I think God can be sarcastic every once in a while. I don't know. He's got really good humor. He created you and me, so he's got really good humor, all right? But yet, can you imagine that he would put you who are spiritual, go? Why? Because he's talking to people who are really focused on checking the law off. So you who think you're all high and mighty and spiritual, why don't you go and act it out? Why don't you go and help somebody? And actually be humble about it. Actually be gentle about it. Don't be a jerk about it. Go and love that person. So honestly, and I don't think that this is in disagreement with anything else in the Word of God, okay? So if it's one way or the other, it doesn't really matter. It's the point of go and care about another individual. Go reach out. If you're spiritual, if you're seeking after God, go do something about it. Just like in that previous verse in chapter 5, it says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're saved, if he was good enough to save you and to make you alive in Christ, walk it out. Live it out. So as he's getting here, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, if there's an issue, if there's a sin, ye which are spiritual, this is the how. Restore. Do you know what that word is? Restore. It's like bringing back into harmony. That's the picture behind it. Another way that they would use this term is to mend a broken bone. All right? So there's something broken here in another Christian's walk. There is an issue that is causing them to not be to their full potential. Has anybody ever had a broken limb in here? Anybody? Okay. All right, it's really difficult to do your job when you have something broken. Your mind is in a totally different place because you're hurting, okay? But then you're just not at full capacity. And he's saying, listen, I want you to go and I want you to mend the broken bone. But I want you to do it in the spirit of meekness. Now, this is a very picturesque term here. There's humility, there's gentleness, and there's even tempered. That one's a really hard one to get, isn't it? Because you know, sometimes we get really emotional about when somebody else is running towards a cliff. Have you ever been there? I mean, have you ever been there when a kid's running towards the road? What do? Stop. Don't run in the road. Anybody ever do that? I'm not going to have Jeannie whistle in here. Please don't. All right? But it's to that extreme, right? It's getting their attention. And sometimes we just react, don't we? When somebody's doing something wrong, when they bring something up, sometimes we just react. What are you doing? Stop. Quit. We were over visiting someone's house yesterday, and I knew it was a mistake to bring my son, okay? All right? Because, man. Okay, if you don't remember what it is like to have a four-year-old son, all right? Here it is. He's on the couch. They have pillows all along the couch. You know what they see when they see pillows? They don't see decoration that they just spent a bunch of money on all these extravagant, colorful pillows that need to stay exactly the way that they are. No, my four-year-old son, pillow fight, here we go. Let's just jump around and put my feet up on the couch and da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, what are you doing? That visit was kind of short. I wanted to stay a little bit longer and converse, but you know, it's really difficult to converse when you think that they're tearing up the living room. Stop! Don't do that. Have you ever done that with your child? When you find them sinning? I mean, we just explode! How could you? I have spent this amount of money. And that's all they hear. That's all they hear. They don't even understand you. They've already tuned you out. They don't know what you're talking about. And you... They're gone. They're out. They don't want to deal with that. Just spank me and get it over with, right? I don't want to be talked to for hours on end about how I'm doing this wrong and yelling at me and tearing me apart. It's like grabbing somebody who has a broken leg and just taking their leg and going, how'd that feel? Did it feel good? Did I fix it yet? No. You have a plan. Now I'm going to count to three, but I'm not going to do it on three, right? I want to talk to you about your dog. You know, I'm going to set this thing. I have a plan, and I want to help you. I want to get you back to where you should be. And if it's starting to heal wrong, we got to re-break it, and it's tough, and it's going to take time. Because a sinner is supposed to respond to me as the fixer of all things. Immediately fix their life. They better do it right now, my way. Have we ever done that? Or is that just me? None of you want to raise your hand anymore. But isn't that how we do it? Even-tempered, gentle, with humility. What's the humility? It says that considering thyself lest thou also be tempted. No, I can never do a thing like that. Beware lest ye fall. Beware lest ye fall. We get so high and mighty trying to come in and be the fixer, and yet we need to be the one looking to the fixer to help them out. We're just the tool. God, use me in the correct manner. May I be the right tool to help complete this project. May I be used in the most perfect manner. May I have the right mind and the right attitude. May I keep my emotions in check. We need to pray this, keeping vertical, keeping humble, and asking God, the fixer of all, to get this done. Now, I'm going to have to finish with verse 2. You say, what? You can't rush through the rest of it? No, I don't think so. But this is important. Get in verse 2 and it says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if you want to restore, listen, the bearing and the burden. Now, the word, the term burden there is very different than in verse 5. It's a totally different term. You say, well, that's not what it says in the KJV. Well, it does in the Greek. So, oh, great. All right. What does it mean? Bear is that bear each other's burdens in the sense that this is an excessive, oppressive burden, something that's too heavy for one individual. It's overtaken them. It's something that they weren't strong enough for. It was in their weakness. And so he's coming and he's saying, listen, go and exhort, go and bear, and be in it for the long haul. Not a quick fix. We're going to put some Flex Seal on this, baby. As seen on TV. You know, some evangelists will think that. Say, well, if you send me $1,000, I'll send you a t-shirt, and it's going to be signed by me, and it's going to fix everything in your life. Do you see that anywhere in Scripture? When you look at Scripture, it's the long haul, isn't it? It's the over time. It's the fruit. When you plant a fruit tree, does it give fruit on that first year? I planted one last year, and I've got one pear. That's going to take care of me through the winter. One. They say that it could take up to 5 to 7 years in order to get a legitimate yield from that. I mean, it takes time in working. And so go in it for the long haul. Don't get annoyed when it doesn't get fixed right away. Go in and help them through it. Now, this is not a bear, because pastors brought this up before. When we're talking about bearing one another's burdens, it's not going and gossiping and complaining about what's going on. That doesn't help anybody. It's, I'm going to be your accountability partner. I want you to know Jesus, and I need to know Jesus, and so we're in this together. We're teammates. We're teammates. Mason and Miles are playing baseball, right? Still playing baseball? No, you're done. You're done, okay? All right, never mind. They were playing baseball. But you know what, Mason? You know, every time you, how did the game go? Did you win? No. I imagine he couldn't wait to be done, because then he can go on to the next. He can go and create his own softball league and get all the, he could stack his team and be better, right? And they could do their own thing, and they could be all the best in the world. And it's done, you know, after 4 years or 6 years or however long. Listen. Christianity is not going to be done in 4 years, and then you're done. It's for the rest of your life. And if we're in it for the long haul, then that means that I got to care about each and every one of you. Right now, that's a big job, isn't it? So that means we got to be in it together. We got to be discipling one another. We got to be in each other's lives, and we got to be reaching out and bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. You say, well, Paul, you've been talking about the law all this time, and how you know Christ fulfilled that, and we don't need to be so focused on that. But yet, what is he talking about? In John chapter 13 and verse 34, it's up on the screen for you. A new commandment. This is Jesus. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Why is it new? Didn't he say that the first and the greatest commandment is love God with everything that you have, right? Second is love your neighbor as yourself. How's it new? Because all of a sudden you got the creation of the church. Here's a new thing. You who are my followers, love one another as I have loved you. Well, I can love them. I can, what some of us say is love, right? I can tolerate them for an hour. I can sit on the other side of the room. We got a big enough auditorium. That's why I love Grace, right? I can sit on the other side of the room. I'll just blame it on COVID. I don't have to see their face. I can go out a totally different door. I don't even have to talk to Pastor. I can go out a side door. He thinks he's smart by being at the back door. I'll go out the side door. I can just deal with them. I can be out. Is that what he means by this? Is that what he means by loving one another as I have loved you? He gave 3 years of nonstop. And then he tied for them. Died for us? Oh, the disciples were easy, right? They were easy to deal with. Peter, really? How many times did he stick his foot in his mouth? He chopped off an ear. He denied Christ 3 times. And yet, he was one of the most influential men for the cause of Christ. So if you want to fulfill that law, get out and bear one another's burdens. Are you ready to do that? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for such a great passage. And yeah, God, I figures I didn't get through it. But God, you had a purpose and brought things to mind that needed to be stated. And God, I just asked you would help us as a church. Help us to enact the scripture that we would do what you've called us to do, that we keep that vertical focus, that we stay humble, that we stay meek, that we understand that your glory needs to be shown. We love one another, God, that we would do the scriptures. That we would act out the salvation that you've called us to. God, and if there's someone here that's not saved tonight, may that they understand that they need to get saved. That's what can change their life. But God, this is been mainly focused on the believers here. And what our job is, bearing one another's burdens and going in for the long haul and doing the difficult, God, just help us. Help us to do what needs to be done. God, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.